It's a physical discipline and it's an oral discipline, really both at the same time. And the physical discipline, you know, we're concentrating on the face, but actually it sort of works down through the whole body. So it's a shift in your thinking, it's a shift in your breathing, it's a shifting in the way you behave.
Interesting how Deborah Hecht echoes Sophie Scott in associating effective voice production very much with physical movement. Christina Shewell, back here in the UK, is another voice coach. She's also a speech therapist and communication skills trainer and author of a book covering the whole area. If RP was seen as the first way of speaking proper, then what would these days be the second way?
You are clear, you are lucid, you are fluent, you can express your thoughts in an articulate way. And then the third, speaking proper, which very much relates to the area that English is now the international business language. And so many foreign people, foreign language speakers, want to speak English sounding fluent and as if they're very comfortable in it. And companies, of course, demand that.
Yes, elocution on the how now brown cow model might have been in retreat for some years, but the industry of speech and voice coaching has, in the modern vernacular, rebranded itself. It is now communication skills or effective speech or presentation skills, and it is big business indeed. The significant changes, I suppose, are that today it is provided more for adults than children, and what is seen as desirable these days if you want to speak well is not trying to imitate the accent of an upper-class Edwardian grandee and a dialect only unearthed in a gentleman's club in Mayfair.
Underneath those, and this is what really people do get confused about, is voice. And part of the reason why Birmingham is considered a sort of not very attractive accent is because of that back constriction in the throat and that rather denasal tone. And that gives a feeling to listeners of being rather blocked. Whereas if you go into Scottish and you have that sort of up and down sound, it has a different energy, a different feeling. So people's judgments of what's proper often is based on an emotional judgment, which is actually based on an unconscious physical reaction to the sound that's produced. So we have voice, we have accent, we have dialect. Voice is the sound that actually comes out of our mouths. And I can speak, let's say, I'm not brilliant at accents, but let's say I try and do a Liverpool accent. I can do a Liverpool accent with, you know, sort of a rather tight jaw and hardly moving my lips, you know. Or I can do a Liverpool accent and actually it's much more energized. I'm using my lips and I'm going up and down. Now, those differences are vocal and we respond more to people's voices, to the energy of their pitch, their loudness, their intonation patterns, whether or not they're a bit hoarse. We respond psychosomatically more to that than we do to accents. People often talk about someone's voice and they mean accent, and they talk about accent and they mean voice. The voice is the sound that comes from my vocal cords and the sort of tube that's above in terms of resonance. So I can do an accent in a number of different voices. So, you know, if I'm doing Scottish, I could speak Scottish with a very tight throat and a very tight jaw. Or I could speak Scottish and have a lovely lilt and have quite a free jaw and a free way of rising and falling. My accent in Scottish isn't brilliant. But you get the idea. Now, Janet Street Porter sometimes has said, you know, people are very rude about my accent. But the thing is, it's actually more to do with her voice than her accent.
So who are today's vocal role models for Christina Shewell's clients?
Well, they usually take actors. You know, all broadcasters. And they'll say, women often say, I want to sound like Judi Dench or Helen Mirren. And men, when I ask them about role models, it's interesting because I had one man recently who was a Turkish businessman. He wanted to sound like Alan Sugar because what he sensed was the authority in that voice. He hadn't picked up the accent issue. Alan Sugar in no way has what might be called an upper-class aristocratic accent, but we really listen to his voice because he has an authority in that to do with the fact that he doesn't rush, he takes his time, he's got a good, strong voice and a good resonant voice that we listen to.
So, timely advice if I want to continue a career hiring my voice out. Khalid Aziz, whom we heard near the beginning of the programme, has a similar message.
The average rate of delivery is 180 words a minute, 3 words a second. But a recent study showed that the most acceptable voice was one which was male in the lower registers, and one which delivered at something like 152 words a minute. And that probably explains why someone like Alistair Cook, who was an amazing fellow because he could write a 10-minute script and get paid for 15 minutes.
And with those thoughts, I take my leave. Normally, I'm a 179 words a minute man myself. Make every word count. Now, that's what I call proper speaking. And with thanks to all our contributors, especially the staff and pupils of Beach House School in Rochdale, and to you for listening, I wish you a very good day.
So if you like oysters and I like oysters, I'll take oysters and give up oysters. For we know we need each other, so we better call a calling off.
Fry's English Delight in Speaking Proper was presented by Stephen Fry and pronounced broadcastable by Ian Gardhouse. It was a testbed production for BBC Radio 4.